And come to Bob Laird's favorite book,
Samuel.
1 Samuel. I would like you to start with me at the 27th chapter. Whenever I give you a word with a blank, you would give me the name. When I say doubting, you say who?
Thomas.
Doubting Thomas. Called doubting Thomas because why? Essentially, why was he doubting Thomas?
Hard time believing, accepting.
What?
That Jesus was alive.
Okay. I mean,
in the words of the other disciples, he said, I have to see for myself.
Okay. Did he have any other thing to go on besides the words of the disciples?
Everybody gives him a bad time. But we have to realize, too, that the Lord's brothers did not believe until they saw him resurrected.
Okay. So back to doubting Thomas. Did he have anything besides the disciples' words to throw into question? Doubting why?
The Lord told him they weren't going
to. He had the Lord's word.
Yeah. The Lord told them all. He wasn't the only one doubting, was he? No. The other ones were a little skeptical, too, when they got the first report. But if I said to you that that we have a doubting David, would you believe me? Did David register any doubt when he took a look at Goliath on that occasion? Was there any doubt about what had to be done and who had to do it and if it could be done? And why did David have such a confidence in that instance? What propelled him?
He was bearing the line.
Yeah, he has had some experience. He had some experience, but what else?
He knew God was on his side.
Okay, he knew God was on his side.
He communed with God every day. He wrote songs about God because he was so close.
Tell me if you remember this famous quote. It is a famous quote. A famous quote. Tell me if you remember hearing it. Don't make a problem until what?
You have a problem.
Did any of you here record hearing that before? Recall it?
All the time.
Okay. So we look at 1 Samuel 27 and verse number 1. This is just a little encouragement to make dog food out of doubts. 1 Samuel 27, verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Saul shall despair me. Now, we just recently went through that with Brother Bob. I just point out the first part of that verse, what he said in his heart. I shall one day perish by the hand of Saul. If there was ever a clearer exhibit of a man's doubt, a man who should have known better, it was there. But how many times we, like David, manifest the same kind of a characteristic in the face of all that we know to be contrary to the narrative? For example, if you would, go back to chapter 16. Now, this is a demonstration of the facts at hand. 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Fact number one in evidence. Come to chapter 23. Chapter 23. And if you would please, look at verse 17. 23:17. He said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel. And I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knoweth. There's a confirmation of what has previously been laid out in the as far as the intention of God is concerned for David. Look over in chapter 25 at verse number 30. It shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. So the facts of the matter, the information available to David is that God has made his choice that he would be the king over Israel. And then, right on the heels of that, in chapter 27, verse 1, what does he say? He said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. David was making a problem unnecessarily. He demonstrated just a tad bit of doubt. Whenever we think about doubt in the heart, it affects a person and it leads in the wrong direction. The verse said that as a result of this false narrative that was conceived in the heart of doubting David, the direction he would now take would be absolutely incredible in light of his past history. He's going to head to the land of the Philistines. I can't think that the Philistines were morons. I can't think that their memory had deserted them. Surely the Philistines, in some way, shape, or form, would have had some hand on history as to what David did to their champion. But it led him in the wrong direction. It is said by some that springing out of a little reference in Proverbs 13, verse 12, where it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And when we think about temporary depression or derangement, it's based always on a false narrative. There was never a precedent for the assumption that David had here, as stated in verse number 1. There's never a record anywhere in the Bible on any account of any servant of God. God never deserted any of his servants. Never. There was no grounds whatever for David to assume that something that God had already committed himself to doing where he was concerned would be annulled by the hand of another human being. The trials that people face in every case, who must remember that the God who sends or permits the trials also has carved out a path for escape. And so we ask, well, why does he send the trials and why does he send or permit these difficulties? Why would he permit that? There's always a way of an escape. And whenever we think about doubting God, it's a choice, basically. Doubt is a choice. Depression is a choice that generally always takes a person and thrusts them downward. Downward. It is to reason contrary to the evidence. And the evidence we can only assume is what God has said. And I borrow this quote from somewhere. I don't remember. I think it was Brother Anon who printed this. And he said that he who has been with us in six troubles will surely be with us in seven or in eight and as however many. Whenever we think about doubt, when you boil it down to its basic components for the child of God, doubt where you're concerned, doubt in the will of God, doubt of the plan of God, always really is a slap at the integrity and the ability and the immutability of Almighty God. And so for that reason, I do concur with an old Bible commentator when he likened doubt in its basic form. Doubt is likened unto Jezebel, the Jezebel of unbelief, hence the dog food. You remember? They threw her over. They didn't throw her under the bus. They threw her off the porch and the dogs made short work of her. And I suggest to you that any time doubt creeps into your mind and you are having a conflict of your conscience over something that God has already said and committed himself to, take that old Jezebel doubt and throw it to the dogs. It's exactly where it belongs. God never says anything, never commits to anything but what he does not intend to fulfill it. All through the scripture, there are stories of famous Bible characters and not so famous Bible characters, obscure people, seemingly insignificant circumstances where if you look close enough, God is always faithful to fulfill his word as he has been. So he will continue to be right up until you get to see him face to face, just like he said you would have the opportunity to do. You're going to have the opportunity to stand right in front of him and see him. Now, does that do anything for your heart? Or do you doubt that that'll ever take place? Do you imagine yourself on that great day when we will be in the presence of God of having to stand in line with our hands in our pockets like you do at Kennywood, waiting to get on the ride, waiting to take our turn with the myriads of people who will be wanting to do the same thing you're wanting to do, to see him face to face? Will you wait in line if that be the case? Or will you, I can't say take a rain check because I'm not just sure there's going to be any available at the time. So I leave that with you with this final encouragement. Don't make a problem until you have a problem. And when the problem comes, remember who sent it or who has permitted it. He is always faithful to process us through it for his glory. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your great kindness to us. Thank you for bearing with us. We are weak and feeble human beings, and we are sadly given to doubts. And we are, as a result of that, sometimes thrust into a place where we make dumb choices. And there are always bitter consequences for that. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, to discern rightly and to be a doer of the word and not a doer of the flesh. For Jesus' sake, I ask this blessing. Amen.